Annika Sabayak, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my best friend and minister of God's Word, Sheila Crawford. And just a reminder, all of our programs are archived on shofarministries.net, along with our many newsletters for your learning pleasure. And now let us pray. Abba, Father, tonight begins your season of lights. As we have just lit the first candle, let us recall not only the well-known miracle of Hanukkah, but also the secret miracle, and by far the more important one. You alone are our light and our salvation. May we be worthy of your grace and mercy by reflecting the light of Jesus to those still in darkness. We continue to lift up our president for your divine guidance according to your will, along with these written prayers from our listeners. We thank you for your many provisions, and may you be glorified by tonight's teaching. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. And I also wish everyone a Hanukkah Sameach as well. And tonight, we have what many refer to as God's secret miracle, which we all know did happen. But still today, only a few know when it actually took place. So that will be our teaching tonight after just a little news about Israel, because there is an excitement in the air over President Trump's open recognition that Jerusalem is the forever capital of Israel, which is actually the first time a sitting president has made that declaration.
You know, I'm pretty sure that Bush, Clinton, and even Obama said that too, didn't they?
Yes, and I'm glad you brought that up because they all did. However, it was always during their campaign speeches when they really needed the Jewish vote.
Mm-hmm.
Once they became president, it was never said. Until now. And the same thing concerning our U.S. Embassy moving from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. They all said it should be done, but never even attempted it. Instead, every 6 months, they signed a waiver to override even the congressional vote that was already approving the move.
Well, you know, still Washington saying it'll take a few years to get it done.
Exactly, which makes me think President Trump could be purposely delaying the opening, because if he really wanted to, he can open up an embassy in Jerusalem in about a half hour, merely by replacing the U.S. consulate sign on the building on West Jerusalem's Argonne Street with one designating it an embassy. Instead, he deliberately set in progress a process that will take years.
Well, he must have some obvious reasons for doing that.
Right. To give Abbas a big push to negotiate more seriously a so-called peace plan. President Trump did emphasize that the embassy move has been stalled long enough and it has not brought peace. Most believe that he's thinking that maybe now there will be fruitful negotiations. I tend to agree, but first, as we are all witnessing, Abbas will have a few hissy fits, and already he is refusing to meet with Vice President Pence when he visits Israel next week. My bet, he'll probably change his mind and meet with him.
Yeah, follow the money.
Exactly. And there is another point to all this that few are talking about. President Trump never said where in Jerusalem. So will it be West Jerusalem, where the consulate is now, or East Jerusalem, where the Temple Mount is?
No doubt about it. West Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm. That's my guess. The Palestinians really want East Jerusalem for its capital. Well, as does Israel. But my thoughts, since it's laid out in Scripture, as part of any peace deal, Jerusalem will be legally divided. The west for Israel, which is where they already have all their government buildings and consulates, and East Jerusalem will be given to the Palestinians. But, and this is a big but, internationally controlled as the UN has already mandated years ago in resolution number 181. As part of Israel's compromise, they will be able to build their temple on the Temple Mount next to the Muslim Dome, while the Catholic Church of the Holy Sepulchre is very near to that already. So then all three major religions will be internationally recognized in East Jerusalem and then soon combined into one.
You know, it sounds like Revelation 17, the harlot of mystery Babylon. All right. Was there much blowback over the missile attacks from Israel hitting Iran's new military base in Syria?
Well, not from Syria, but of course, ramblings are going on in the West Bank, and a few missiles from Gaza came in to Israel due to Trump's Jerusalem announcement. However, Iran is still progressing in accomplishing its goal of a land corridor from Iran, Iraq, through Syria, and right now they're in southern Lebanon.
You know, I read where they've set up another headquarters in Damascus.
That's right. Isaiah 17 is surely on the horizon. Another tunnel was discovered coming from Gaza into Israel's border as well, and Israel quickly filled it in with this bentonite. It's a clay-like mineral that expands and turns into an adhesive when it comes into contact with water. So it's better and easier to use than cement.
And no bombs.
That's right.
And isn't BB in Europe this week?
Yes. It's actually been 22 years since an Israeli prime minister has visited the EU, and he's speaking to the representatives at their own council. Netanyahu is asking the EU leaders to highly consider the U.S. peace deal that's in the making. Now, let me reiterate. Trump's Jerusalem declaration was a warning to the Palestinians. Either negotiate or you just might lose it all, because details are being worked on with or without their input.
And that's a pretty big deal.
It is.
And very exciting times.
Oh, it is for sure. We are right now seeing so many countries starting to embrace Israel. Not all, but some, because it's very beneficial to do so. And now another gas well has been found. Israel is experiencing a very prosperous, innovative revolution, especially in big data, cybersecurity, IT companies, the internet, and yes, even artificial intelligence. And the nations want in and are actually beginning to strong arm Abbas to adhere to a peace plan. And finally, I think it could easily happen next year.
You mean Daniel 9:27?
Yes. It does say a treaty will be made with Rome and with many in agreement. So, at this juncture, it could happen soon.
Wow, you haven't thought that in a while.
I know. But have you ever seen countries like Saudi Arabia do a 180 and openly, not openly, align with Israel like we are seeing now? Even Bahrain, which has many Shiites, is this week visiting Israel, bringing a message of peace. And by the way, those are their words.
So much other news is going on over here as well.
Well, it is. Many more suspicious fires in California. So many sexual harassment charges. The Alabama Senate race today. The new tax plan. More terrorism in New York. It's head spinning. And since that is all being covered on Fox News, especially Hannity on the Mueller investigation, et cetera, we are just going to move on to conclude our 3-week study on Hanukkah, which began tonight at sundown, a most important season of dedication and lights. So get ready with your Bibles and open to John 10. And while they are doing that, honey, could you tell our listeners how they can reach us.
Absolutely. Okay. You can send your end time questions by email to Sheila at shofarministry.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings are greatly appreciated. And by the way, still deductible. Any donation will add you to our mailing list for news updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and teaching newsletters are archived for your added learning. Remember, the first Friday of every month, Shofar Assembly meets in Cheston, Ohio, at the Chester Christian Center for a deeper look into God's Word. And if you'd like to Sheila to speak to your church group, just call the office, 440-834-9006, and she would love to come out.
Thank you, my dear. Okay, we ended last week's program by reading from John chapter 10, verses 22 to 33. And that's where we see that Jesus did honor Hanukkah by being in the temple. And we're going to pick it up from there, but we're going to go over some of that again because it's just so important to understand the significance of the eighth and final day of this feast of dedication. So follow along with me in verse 22 of John 10. Now it was the Feast of Dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. So again, right here, as I said last week, we need to pause and ask ourselves, why did John want us to know it was winter? Because there are two Feast of Lights. The greater Feast of Lights, which is Tabernacles in the fall, when Jesus was really born, and the lesser Feast of Lights in the winter, which is called Hanukkah. Remembering the miracle of the menorah staying lit for 8 days when they only had 1 day's worth of this special processed oil as recorded in Exodus 27. We also know that this encounter that we are about to read occurred at the end of the feast due to the Greek tense. So it's the eighth day of Hanukkah, and that's important to note as we will soon see. So verse 23 says, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. By the way, that's on the other side of the outer court of the temple. And it's where the Gentiles and the women were allowed to be. And John wanted us to know that too, because everyone could hear this very important statement that Jesus was about to say. Jews, Gentiles, and even the women. So in verse 24 of John 10, it says, then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt if you are the Christ? Christ meaning the anointed one. Tell us plainly. Verse 25, Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe, because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. And here's the main part of it, verse 30. I and my Father are one. And those are the words where he claimed to be God, one with the Father. And they knew exactly what he meant, which is why we see what happens in the next verse, verse 31. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Now, the first time, of course, they're referring back to chapter 8, when Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. So they began to stone him then for blasphemy, and he escaped through the crowds. So back to John 10, verse 32. Jesus answered them, many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God. Have you ever heard someone say that Jesus never said he was God? Well, you just tell them to read John chapter 8 and chapter 10. Okay, so here we have Jesus claiming his deity on the eighth day of Hanukkah. Why is this so significant? Well, I have to tell you, I take in a deep breath when I teach this because it's so amazing to see how God implements these important details at just the right time and just the right place. It's really mind-boggling because if you have been following what I teach in Hebraic Roots, then you easily see that he orchestrated all this to fall on the same anniversary date of Jesus' incarnation into Mary. You know, dates are very important to God. So, amazingly, 280 days later, Jesus would be born on the greater Feast of Lights. He is the light of the world. And, of course, that's called Tabernacles, and that's on Tishri 15 in our fall season. Now, this information, of course, is all in our webpage, shofarministries.net. And you might be thinking, well, it can't get any better than all this, except I can add one more amazing gold nugget. The number 8, as you know, is Jesus' number because it has no ending, as in eternity. Well, the eighth day of Hanukkah always falls on the Jewish calendar of Tevet 1. Most of you already know that the first day of every month begins with a new moon. Like something new has begun. Just a small sliver on this new moon of Tevet 1. Also, a tiny fertile egg was implanted in Mary and then grew for 280 days until in the fullness of time, Galatians 4:4, his son was born. Yep, on a full moon of Tishri 15. The precise details on all this is really mind-boggling. New moons were very meaningful, with a festive-type dinner always served, as we read in 1 Samuel 20. In fact, if they missed it being the new moon, you know, because it's so small, they could honor it the second night instead. We see that 1 Samuel 20, verse 27. That is why there are 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, because it too is on a new moon. And it does have an idiomatic phrase associated with it. It's like the moon is being born again. It is my personal thought that it was very likely when Jesus told Nicodemus he must be born again, he was probably pointing up to the sky on the night of a new moon, which would explain why John was sure to record for us that Jesus saw him at night. John 3, verse 2. Now, when we become born again, we too are like that new moon with only a sliver of knowledge. But just like the new moon, as it turns closer to the sun, S-U-N, it reflects more of the light. Well, the same thing with us. As we grow closer to the sun, S-O-N, we then reflect more of him, becoming more full and more bright. Did you ever wonder why Malachi 4:2 says, the sun of righteousness shall arise? But sun is spelled S-U-N. And that's not a typo. We also know that the people were not allowed to visit either a man of God or the king unless it was a Sabbath or a new moon. We read in 2 Kings 4:23 that the Shunammite's husband questioned her, wanting to go see Elisha, when it wasn't a new moon or a Sabbath. And Solomon references the new moon's importance as well in 2 Chronicles chapter 2 and again in chapter 8. And isn't it very interesting that the probable resurrection is thought by those who study, and that would be me, to occur on a Rosh Hashanah, which is a new moon and a Sabbath because it's an extra holy day. It's also very interesting that even in the millennial kingdom, the gates of the temple will only be opened on a new moon or a Sabbath. You can read that in Ezekiel 46. And one more nugget from Isaiah 66. When you're reading it in context, he is referring to the new heaven and the new earth and records it from one new moon to another and from one Sabbath to another. All flesh will worship before me, says the Lord. Yeah, it's there at the end of Isaiah 66, verses 22 and 23. So I think that's a pretty big clue. And again, to those who seriously study this, it's not for the casual reader. And that's probably why you're listening to this program, because I don't believe you're just a casual reader either. Praise God. There is a remnant that want the deeper truths of God. And you know what else? You are a temple of God. You're like a Hanukkah. And Paul addresses that in both letters to the Corinthians. So do you need to rededicate yourself like the Maccabees rededicated their temple? Well, clean it up and relight that candle. This season is a great time to do that. You've just gotten a lot of information. What are you going to do with that information? Are you going to hide it under a bushel? No, you've start teaching it yourself. We're all supposed to be little teachers, at least, by telling others the things that we know. Otherwise, you'd be like the Dead Sea. All the good water goes into it, but it has no outlet. What you take in, you should give out. And by the way, Hanukkah is the Hebrew word for dedication. And from time to time, we do have to rededicate our lives. We get hung up sometimes with the cares of this life and we don't spend as much time as we should with Him. Time to rededicate that. Or maybe you are listening right now and you have never dedicated your life to Christ. Well, today is the day of your salvation. Just do it. Open that door of your heart and invite Him in. Right now, because this is a guarantee that I can make you. If you don't invite Him in, you will, without a doubt, one day regret it. And that really is a promise. So don't put it off any longer. He wants no one to perish, but He won't force Himself on you. He leaves the choice totally in your heart. So, praise the Lord. Don't forget to light your first candle tonight and every night for the next 8 nights. And I'm going to leave you with the Aaronic blessing from number 622 through 27. Yivaraka ka Adonai v'yish meraka, ye'er Adonai panav eleka v'yineka, yasei Adonai panav eleka v'yisam laha shalom. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace, that peace that passes all understanding. And really, only those of us that are truly born again can have that peace. So till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her shall prosper. And you can read that in Psalm 122, verse 6. So again, use this information. Tell as many people as you can. And we'll see you next time. Shalom and God bless.
Thank you. Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.